Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. More women are producing, writing, and directing television than ever. Now, how is that impacting how women are represented on camera? We'll get the perspective of TV critic Karina Cacciano, the author of the new book, You Play the Girl, and she joins me next. Also ahead, a Sweet 16 for NCIS, Leah Remini and On My Block Go Forward, our classic trivia question, and in our up segment, a super saga proposal from Monday's episode takes off. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the New York Television Festival and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us on this Friday for the program about television. Would you believe at this very hour, it's 80 degrees here in New York. Who would have thunk it after all the weather we've gone through the last month or so? 80 degrees at the top of this hour. Delighted to have you with us. Good guests coming your way in the hour ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, you raise the voice, you pick up the phone, and you dial in at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio. If you're not too great about the phone, we got another way to get involved, our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and it's waiting for you. And while the poem is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. From Los Angeles, Karina Cacciano will join us after these news notes. There will be a 16th season of NCIS on CBS this fall. You can attribute that to a salary increase for star Mark Harmon, where he may earn upwards of $20 million and be among the 5 highest-paid male actors on a television series. 80 Networks has put together a first-look arrangement for new unscripted projects from actress Leah Remini. Her acclaimed Scientology and the Aftermath series will begin its 3rd season on A&E later this year. And On My Block, the dramedy of South Central teenagers in Los Angeles, will return for a 2nd season on Netflix. The green light for season 2 this morning comes a month after its debut and a round of rave reviews, plus more than 32,000 Facebook followers despite scant publicity. Co-creator executive producer Jeremy Happ appeared on this program 2 weeks ago today. And that is news notes for today. Our guest this afternoon is a TV critic whose work you may have seen in the Los Angeles Times, Entertainment Week, and Salon. But currently, she has a book out and a very provocative one at that called You Play the Girl, published by Houghton Mifflin, and is available through Amazon.com and bookstores like Barnes & Noble. Joining us live from Los Angeles, Karina Cacciano. Karina, thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. And let's start with the question I posed right at the top. We're in an age where more women are producing and writing and direction TV, scripted or unscripted. How do you think that's impacting how women are portrayed on camera?
I think it's made a huge impact. It's made a huge difference. In the past 2 years, I'd say, 4 years maybe, the shift has just been enormous, and you've just seen more and more shows in which women are portrayed as, like, full human beings, and that's really kind of feels new.
What shows do you want to give, either scripted or unscripted, as examples of women being portrayed as whole or complex or all around?
Right now, there really are so many, but I mean, just off the top of my head, shows like Transparent or Smilf, Glow, Insecure, Better Things, The Deuce, there's just so many. And they're mm-hmm. dramas and comedies and really all genres.
Mm-hmm. Why did you decide to write your book and call it You Play the Girl?
Why or when?
Let's start with why and then when.
Oh, I spent a lot of years as a TV and movie critic, and especially when I was a movie critic, I found myself, consuming enormous quantities of movies, obviously, And it was during a time when I think it was kind of a low point for representation in women. It was about 10 years ago. And there really just wasn't much. And you would see all these great, like, comedic actresses being cast in these tiny, thankless roles, always as a kind of supporting role, never really very fleshed out, always a little bit confusing, like, as a woman you would watch it and not really relate to anything that was happening on the screen. And it started to strike me that, like, probably everybody was feeling the same way I was, except that I was spending a lot more time, you know, consuming a lot more of this stuff and thinking about it more. So one day I read an interview with Isla Fisher in which she was asked if she had a lot of great offers for starring roles in comedies after The Wedding Crashers. And she said that, you know, not a lot of stuff had come her way at the time and that she realized it wasn't really her fault. It was that in Hollywood, all the parts are written for men and you play the girl. And I just thought, wow, like, that kind of doesn't make any sense. And yet, you know exactly what she's talking about and you know that she's right. So it just stuck with me and I kind of went from there.
Mm-hmm. Did you see a television show that at one point got you so in the mood to say, I want to write, if I write a book about this, how women are portrayed in media, in film, in television, that there's certain,
you know,
things I want to say, that there's certain aspects of what I'm seeing that I want to flesh out.
Yeah, and I think that it's kind of like what you say. I mean, I feel like I had spent many years going, wow, this feels wrong. You know, I can't really relate to this. I kind of go in and watch this stuff and kind of come out feeling bad about it in ways that I can't quite put my finger on. So I started working on the book, and in the process of working on the book, you know, Girls came out, Transparent came out, and other shows like that that started to feel like the tide, they were starting to shift the tide and sort of make it possible for other women and other shows about women to come after them and portray women as human beings. So it was interesting because I was motivated more by, like, the negative aspects of it, but I think then I was really what kind of got me through the finish line was seeing change start to happen and sort of feeling that I wasn't wrong to feel the way that I felt and that these new shows feel very different.
We're speaking with Karina Cacciano. She is the author of the brand new book by Hammond Lifman called You Play the Girl. It's available in local bookstores all over the country, also available for sale at Amazon.com. And Karina's with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So I'm happy to be with you live from the other end of the country, known as New York, where it's 80 degrees at the top of the hour. If a question or comment for Karina, don't be shy. Put it to us at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Early this week, BET launched a new show about legal aid. It's called In Contempt. And we've got the creator and showrunner of that program, former Law and Order writer, producer Terry Kopp, will be our lead guest on Monday's episodes, the first of three episodes that we are doing this week on Tomorrow, next week on Tomorrow Be Televised. Also joining us on Monday, the man behind some of the most controversial programs in the documentary area in recent years, including last year's very, very, very provocative O.J. is Innocent series for Investigation Discovery. His name is Jimmy Fox. He runs the company known as Main Event Media, and they've got two shows premiering this coming week, one on Paramount Network, the other on Investigation Discovery. Terry Kopp from In Contempt, Jimmy Fox from Main Event Media joining us live Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Televised. And also on Monday, we're going to be offering a copy of Karina's book as one of our classic trivia question prizes. So stay tuned for more information about that as we go along. Karina, was there a particular, in writing, and I understand this is an essay form, was there a particular essay that you found more difficult to write than the others?
That's a good question. Some of them were more difficult to write than others. And I'm not sure I could really tell you why. I think sometimes, well, in all of them, I tried to approach them from, like, my point of view and just sort of how I felt about the stuff that I had watched growing up. It's kind of like a journey through my upbringing via the stuff that I watched and how I related to the stuff that I watched growing up. So maybe the stuff that I watched when I was much younger, where I, like, my memories weren't as clear, but my feelings were very strong. And yet I, you know, maybe was consuming stuff at a time when I didn't have the ability to think critically and really examine what lessons I was absorbing. So going back and writing about, say, how I felt to write about Bugs Bunny and drag, or, you know, finding my grandfather's Playboys, or watching, like, my first Katharine Hepburn movie of The Philadelphia Story when I was about 12 and seeing that on TV. Just trying to reconstruct those feelings and recreate kind of that time period was hard, but it was really fun too.
What kind of shows did you watch when you were growing up, and did you get a certain attitude about women as they were portrayed at the time?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I watched, you know, kind of everything. Like everybody, I was exposed to lots and lots of different things, and they definitely changed over time. You know, that was part of the project, was sort of to look back and see, like, well, what kind of stuff was I watching when I was really young in the 70s and then in the 80s and 90s? And part of what's interesting is that, you know, we've all been in a period, we've sort of lived in at a time where we could watch stuff that precedes us all along growing up. Like, I watched The Brady Bunch when I was little, but I didn't realize until I started researching the book that The Brady Bunch was actually before my time, and I was watching reruns. And I don't know that I was aware at the time, you know, or I loved watching Bewitched or I Dream of Jeannie, and obviously I was aware that those shows kind of were before my time. So it's interesting, like, that you could just see this kind of salad of, like, attitudes all mixed together at all times. And, you know, when I was little, it was reruns, and then later, you know, I think for millennials, it's like, you know, they grew up with Nick at Night, and then now little kids have everything available on Netflix or YouTube, and so we've all got these kind of layers of mixed together messages that we kind of get all at once.
It's interesting, Craig, you mentioned Bewitched, because that was a program that featured women in major roles. Elizabeth Montgomery, the star, Agnes Moorehead playing the mother. I had Marion Lauren or Alice Pierce playing the nosy neighbor. And it always seemed to be that, with that show at least, the women were very strong. They had their quirks. And it was like the men who were sort of the dumb folks in one way or another. You know, they were always being henpecked.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, one of the interesting things, though, about kind of going back and looking at this stuff is that that's true, but there's more to it also. Like, I think the ultimate message of that show was, you know, Samantha had all this power as a witch, but Darren was like, his whole purpose was to get her not to use it and to hide it and to have her suppress it. It was like, no, you can't wiggle your nose and do the dishes. You have to actually do the dishes. And it's really interesting because that's a message that is repeated a lot in popular culture, all the way to, like, you know, I have a 9-year-old daughter, and when Frozen came out a few years ago, she was the demographic and she saw it 100 times. And Frozen has the same message. Like, this princess has superpowers and she's very ashamed and her parents locked her up in a room and told her not to use them. So, you know, I think Samantha is that also. And it's interesting because there's this kind of push-pull between her husband, who's like, don't you dare let anyone know that you're a witch or it will cost me my job. He's always about his job and about him keeping face in his job and how the corporation was not, you know, the ad agency was not going to like it that his wife was anything but a housewife. And meanwhile, her mother was always like, oh my God, why do you put up with this? You know, and she was like the classic witch, like old witch, you know? So it's like, it's a dynamic that we see today even, you know, like up until Frozen, which was not that long ago, that these stories keep getting told. And I think that they influence how we see, for instance, powerful women, you know, older, powerful women, how we see Hillary Clinton or Angela Merkel or, you know, people like that, that there's a sort of distrust that's, you know, sort of groomed in us all along, because these stories don't vary very much.
In your book, there's a section about Sex and the City where you explore that long-running HBO program and the women who starred in it from a very unique perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, as I just want to say, too, like, the shows that I talk about, I grew up watching this stuff and, of course, liking it a lot and enjoying it. So, you know, looking back at all of this stuff and sort of looking at it critically is not about saying, oh, this is a bad show or don't watch it or whatever. But it's about sort of kind of getting at, like, well, what am I learning from this? You know, what am I getting from this? And sometimes these things are very deeply embedded. So for me, Sex and the City, you know, I loved that show. I thought that they did things that I hadn't seen done on TV before. It was this very novel female perspective. The friendship was central. Their desire and, you know, the things that they wanted were central to the story. And their relationship to each other was more important than their relationships to, you know, to other men or whatever in the show. But it was, but I think at the time it still had to be couched kind of in a fantasy. And it was almost like, you know, that aspect of it was hidden inside the sort of fantastical aspect of, like, the shoes and the apartments and ultimately, like, the big fairy tale marriage to the big fairy tale prince. So I think it's almost a transitional show in a way. It's kind of its time. You know, I don't think someone would make that show that way now.
You Play the Girl is the new book we're talking about, and we have the author for you this half hour on Tomorrow Be Told live from Los Angeles. Her name is Karina Cacciano. She is also a former TV critic at the Los Angeles Times, Entertainment Week, and Salon. She's also written on movies for those places and others. And she's with us live, as I said, this half hour from L.A. here on Tomorrow Be Told live. The book is now available through Amazon.com, also bookstores all over the country, and it's published by Houghton Mifflin Books. And if you have a question or comment for Karina, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Three episodes coming your way next week on the program, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, all at this hour, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Coming up Wednesday, a big 90-minute show for you. 5 pilots are going to be showcased in the next few weeks at the Tribeca Film Festival here in New York. And we'll be showcasing 2 of them next week. The first will be on Wednesday. You'll meet the creator and star of Knife. It's about a Korean-American who deals with breast cancer. Her name is Naomi Koh, and it really happened to her, and we've got her as our lead guest. Then, we'll meet the founder president of a company that's got some interesting insights about smart TV sets and smart devices and how we are using them and may still use them down the road. His name is John Gigengock, and he's with Hub Entertainment Research. And finally, and we just got this nailed earlier today, we've got the executive producer of the new BBC America hit starring Sandra Oh, Killing Eve, Sally Woodward Gentile. So join us. That's next Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, you can see a big night of edition coming your way right here on Tomorrow Be Told. They're coming up on Friday, a week from today, we'll have another one of the Tribeca pilots. It's called Tantalum. We've got the creator, writer, and director. Her name is Clara Aronovich. That's Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. The Big Wake Award nominations came out earlier this week, Karina, and there were quite a few shows that feature women in major roles, both in front and behind the camera, One Day at a Time, Andy Mack, and in particular, The Handmaid's Tale. In the last couple of years, I've never seen a show that really had such an impact on women and people overall so fast as The Handmaid's Tale. And Margaret mm-hmm. Atwood has sort of become the writer du jour of television. Alias Grace, which was based on another one of her books, miniseries on Netflix last year, that's also nominated for a Peabody Award. We'll get, by the way, the winners in a couple of weeks. But I'm curious what you thought about Handmaid's Tale, and why do you think it made such a quick reaction, a quick impact on people?
Both of those shows are so incredible. But Handmaid's Tale was, you know, the fact that it was that someone thought to do it when they did, it was so, so prescient. Like, the timing could not have been better. And I think what's amazing about The Handmaid's Tale is that, you know, it was written in the 80s. And it was, at the time, you know, I think she was sort of writing about an imagined near future dystopia where the religious right takes over. But at that time it was, you know, it was that sort of televangelist Jimmy Swaggart era. And now, you know, this this televised version is not that different, but it feels, obviously, it's set in a time that feels much more like the present. And that era has come back in a slightly different way. But, you know, I think with the election and everything, we were very aware of how quickly, you know, advances can be eroded, and how quickly you can, like, gains can be lost, and rights that you've won can be lost, and how it, in many ways, you know, we aren't prepared for, we're not alert to sometimes the big cataclysmic changes that are happening until it's too late. And so I think that I think it was just visceral. I think people just thought, oh my God, like, see how, you know, what could happen so easily. And I think that it also exposes certain strains in the culture of, like, what some political factions would like women's lives to be like, and the sort of this impulse to control women's bodies and to reduce them to these patriarchal roles where they're just serving men, whether it's as wives or wombs or maids or, you know, enforcers, which is what all the women in the show are sort of sorted into these slots.
It's going to be very shocking if The Handmaid's Tale, which won the Emmy Award last year as the best drama on television, best drama series, does not get a Peabody. It would be really, really shocking. I think that may be the slam dunk of all the 60 nominees that came out earlier. It would be very interesting to see who else gets into it. It's going to be a very, very hot and heavy nominee. It always is, because you're talking about the best of the best, and really, really amazing stuff. What shows that are coming up are you looking forward to watching?
There's a new show, I think, on Stars called Vida, that's set in East Los Angeles, and I think and it's about two sisters, and I think just that milieu hasn't really been shown before in this way, you know, in a way that where the it's just about kind of family and friendship and sisterhood, and, you know, and so that looks interesting. I'm looking forward to, you know, things coming back like The Handmaid's Tale, Glow, and I don't know. I'm trying to think of what's coming up. What's coming up that sounds good?
Well, Vida is being paired with another half hour that will be premiering in May called Sweet Bitter. Both, by the way, are favorite women.
Oh yeah, that
looks
great.
Mm-hmm. And Sweet Bitter is going to be presented in a week or two at the Tribeca Film Festival. We hope to get a hold of Stephanie, who is the creator of that show, and have her on our program down the road. And we definitely want to get Taryn Salcedo, who is the creator of Vida. She's already made a production deal with Stars for additional shows, and I'm hearing that she is being touted as one of the best new writers on television this year, writer-producers. I'm hearing a lot about Vida, that it is a groundbreaker in a lot of ways, both in terms of how Latinos are portrayed on television, and particularly gay and lesbian Latinos are portrayed on television.
Right,
so,
both, yeah. I got a little critique, and it's very good.
In the last year or so, there have been a lot of different ways to get more women, particularly women of color, involved in television. It's been either, for example, efforts by people like Ava DuVernay, by Melissa Rosenberg on Jessica Jones, which just got renewed for a third season yesterday by Netflix, to have more women direct episodes. Also, more women of color are forming production companies, whether it's Regina King, Kerry Washington, Gina Rodriguez, Jennifer Lopez, America Ferrara, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's more diversity programs out there on all sorts of different levels. There's crowdfunding. There is now the opportunity to do other TV festivals. They're now accepting more shows aimed at people of color and women of color. And there's also Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, and using that in blockchain to try to develop a newer pipeline for shows. Where do you think the next level needs to be for more women to be involved in television? Is it something that particularly you want to see that's not being done now to try to bring more women into television, both in front of and behind the camera?
I guess I think that it's a structural, you know, it's a structural issue, right? The more equitable things are behind the scenes, the people who are making the decisions and kind of calling the shots are representative of the world, the more that will come out in what we're seeing. So I think that all these things like inclusion riders and stuff like that, like that's what's really going to help, I think, shift the balance, because it can't, we've had many years of sort of a status quo where appeals are made, for more diversity. But if the people who are making the decisions are all the same, and they actually, there's this, the confirmation bias, and they're hiring people who think like them and remind them of themselves, then we're just going to get one point of view. This is really more about anything. I think it's about perspective and point of view, and seeing the world through different people's eyes, because it just expands what we can see in a way that I think is really necessary and great. Like the best stuff that's out there right now on TV is stuff that, I think a decade ago wouldn't have gotten made. And you're seeing an explosion, I think, not necessarily of like new ideas, but of ideas that had been held back, which is really sad.
The book is called You Play the Girl. It's available now at bookstores all over the country, also available for sale at Amazon.com, and it's published by Houghton Mifflin. And if you want more details about the book, here's where you can go online, www.houghtonmifflinbooks.com. It's www.houghtonmifflinbooks.com. And on Monday, we will offer this book as a prize in our ongoing classic trivia segment. Priya Kachana, the author of the book, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on this past half hour on Marvel Televised. Let's have you back on soon, and all the very best to you.
Thank you so much.
You're Bye. Welcome. Take care. Have a super weekend.
You too. Bye.
Priya Kachana, joining us live from Los Angeles here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. More of the program, but first, the words from the fine folks at Audible.com. One of the big shows on television right now is This Is Us. Then we'll be up and running for Emmys for its second season. And one of course, the major players is Chrissy Metz. And she has a brand new book out, which is now available in audio form that you can get with a trial run at Audible.com. It's called This Is Me, which she narrates herself. And you can get it, and all you got to do is make that your free book for a 30-day trial to Audible.com. It's the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information that can transform the way you hear the world. With over 180,000 titles to choose from, you listen on any device, including whatever you are hearing this on right now at Blog Talk Radio or iHeartRadio. All you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, audibletrial.com/televised. Get one free audio book like This Is Me, or one of your choice, 1 month trial of the service, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Remember, at Audible, listening is the new reading. Hear it for yourself. What you got to do, pick up the phone or pick up your fingers, use your computer, and go to audibletrial.com/televised. This is Tomorrow We Televised, the program all about the tube. We'll be Mondays and Fridays, 3 to each New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. We're also presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And we'll be with you 3 times next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, all at this very hour. So tune in, great guests each and every day. And, of course, that's 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific here on Blog Talk Radio and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And coming up next, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week. And in our up segment, remember on Monday we had some ideas about super saga or super genre television? Well, one of the ideas I proposed less than 24 hours later became a project in development. We'll tell you who's doing it and where it might show up after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected with the best internet radio on the universe. It's www.blogtalkradio.com. Well, there's 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for In the Country with Dave Woods. Join him and his guests for music, talk, and fun every week right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, you can catch the best of each hour 24/7 at youtube.com. Welcome back to Tomorrow We Televised on this Friday afternoon, 80 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, Simon Applebaum here with you live from the Big Apple on Blog Talk Radio and the iRadio Podcast Network. Coming up, our up segment, where we spotlight, again, super genre television, one of the ideas I posed on our last episode Monday afternoon. But first, time for our classic trivia question of the week. Nobody's given us an answer so far, so we're going to keep it in play through the weekend. And here's that question. What was the first television series Stephen Boschko wrote for? What was the first television series Stephen Boschko wrote for? Here's the clues. It was on NBC, premiered in the late 1960s. I believe 1968 was the year. One-word title, and here's a new clue. Music by QJ. Music by QJ. Again, the question, what was the first television series Stephen Boschko wrote for? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win Stealing the Show, How to Win a Revolution in Television, by our guest from last month, Joy Press. Also a former TV critic, by the way, at the LA Times and other places as well, Village Voice 2. And you can also get The Many Worlds of Krypton, inspired by the new sci-fi series Krypton from DC Comics. And remember, again, starting next week, no matter if we have a winner or not, we will have another prize for you, the new book, You Play the Girl, by our guest of the last half hour, Karina Cacciano. So, again, email me with the correct answer to this week's Crisis Trivia question, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, when you email, enclose your name and your full name and address. So if you win, we get the prize out to you ASAP. If you just missed the question, no problem. Post it tomorrow morning throughout the weekend on Facebook and on my Twitter hashtag, at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. But remember, in order to win, you got to be in, so get that answer in. It could be the winning one. By the way, I want to welcome Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia. Boy, Philly's a big super sports town with the Eagles and Villanova winning the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. And the Philly's off to a fairly good start. The Flyers off to a good start, too, and happening with the Stanley Cup playoffs that started this past week. So Philadelphia hot sports town, Rick Webb is our good representative there, and we're happy he's with us in that chat room. So before we leave you, it's time for Up as an update, where we catch up on some of the guests and topics we've had in this program. Back on Monday, we did an extended comment on what I call Super Saga or Super Genre Television, with shows like Games of Thrones and Westworld being popular. We speculated on the fact that there's all these different projects that are now in development. For example, there's like 4 or 5 Game of Thrones spinoffs. When Game of Thrones ends on HBO next year, any one of these spinoffs, maybe more than one, could get on the air on HBO, prequels, sequels, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. George R. R. Martin is working with Universal Cable Productions on Wild Cards, his popular anthology series with hundreds of writers and stories involved. There's a new Star Wars live-action series in the works, maybe more than one at Disney. We mentioned the deal that Fremantle Media made for Gorgon and for Astro City to make them sprawling, exciting television series, maybe more than one. And at the end of the commentary, I suggested a couple of big hot properties that maybe at last someone might do as a series. The first I mentioned was Foundation, based on the Isaac Asimov novels about an effort to establish centers at opposite ends of the galaxy, so in the event of war or disruption of different civilizations, whatever they come up with could still be kept alive. Well, less than 24 hours after our show, guess what happened? Lo and behold, Apple, through Hollywood Reporter and various other places, let the word go out and forth that they are, in fact, working on developing a TV series based on Foundation, and they have hired David Goyer, one of the key people behind Krypton, the writer of many of the best superhero films of recent years, including The Dark Knight, and also was involved with Da Vinci's Demons, the stars for several years, that has gotten him and other people to actually develop the show based on Foundation. We'll see what happens. I've read Foundation for years, love Isaac Asimov's work, think it would be a marvelous series. So it was wonderful to hear that so soon after our show, yes, somebody wants to make it happen on television. I'm still working on looking for the folks who want to do Dangerous Visions, and maybe somebody to do that Star-Lost show and bring it back and finally give it its great, great glory. It should have had the first time around back in the early 1970s. We'll keep you posted, by the way, on all the super genre, super saga developments that we talked about on Monday. And if there's any new developments in that category, we will, of course, bring them to you as news notes or as future up segments. Well, that will do it for this edition of Marvin Tell. Again, thank you to Karina Cacciano for joining us, for the author of the new book, You Play the Girl. Coming up on our show Monday, first of 3 episodes we're doing next week, we'll have former Law & Order writer-producer Terry Kopp. Her latest program, she's the creator of the show, and Rob is In Contempt, premiered on BET this past Tuesday night, starring Erica Hatch of Byron Morse fame as a legal aid lawyer here in the Big Apple. Then we'll meet Jimmy Fox. He's the president of Main Event Media. It's behind some of the most controversial documentary series of recent years, including last year's Investigation Discovery deal is O.J. Innocent. He's got two new series with his company coming up this week. One is going to be on Paramount Network. The other is going to be on ID. And he'll be with us live next Monday. Then on Wednesday, Big Nerd Edition, we'll have the creator and star of the new pilot being showcased, one of five, at the Tribeca Film Festival called Nice, Naomi Coe. Then John Gigandock from Hub Entertainment Research will talk to him about where things are going with smart TV sets and smart TV devices like Roku and Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, et cetera, et cetera. And the executive producer of the new hit BBC America series with Sandra Oh, Killing Eve, Sally Woodward Gentile. And on Friday, another one of the Tribeca pilot folks will be with us from Tarantulum, creator, writer, and director, Clara Aronovich. That's all coming up next week. Please release New Pacific. Join us. Be part of the program. Make it happen right here on Blog Talk Radio. If you came in late on today's program and you want to catch up on episodes, it's made it very easy for you. Just go anytime you like to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. More than 7,000 replays so far this month going into today. You can also go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow We Televise in the search bar, make the click, and you're there. Or go to the top of the iHeartRadio.com screen, click on categories, then click entertainment, and you'll get our show that way too. We're also available in podcast form at iTunes and at Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, here's how you get it. Go to an Apple store near you or order it online. By the way, check out Media Village. That's the website I write for regularly. File the column that came out today on Discovery Inc.'s a big event here at Alex Telly Hall and Lincoln Center a couple nights back. It was a big one and a great one. And I've got all the details, including the news, about what shows are coming up on many of Discovery-owned channels, including HGTV, Food Network, Investigation Discovery, TLC, Animal Planet, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of big news that was showcased on Tuesday night at Alex Telly Hall. So you can get that at Media Village. While you're there, check out all the other wonderful commentary that you can find on TV and media from people like Jack Myers, Stuart Elliott, E.B. Moss, Charlene Weiser, all sorts of super people. That's at MediaVillage.com, www.MediaVillage.com. We love to hear from you here on this program, and we do answer to your emails and communications. What do you like today's program? And what's your thoughts on where TV is at and where it's going? We'd love to hear. So get it to us. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. I do respond to all my emails within 24 to 48 hours. And remember, that's how you get involved in our Fox Trivia Question of the Week. Also, it's how you can get involved in our regular feature we call it Show to Know. Is there a television program you like very much that doesn't get the attention it deserves? Well, let us know. We'll give it the attention, and we'll give you the credit for it. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. You also find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. I'm usually there. Just had the 20,000 tweet mark. And thanks to all the 650 followers or so that catch the tweets on a regular basis. So remember, it's at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. That is my Twitter handle. And we want to make it great for you. Remember, however you communicate, email, Facebook, Twitter, etc., we appreciate it. Why? Because what you say matters. That is for sure. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio or iHeartRadio. Here at Blog Talk Radio, our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy So is BTR's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of BTR are Alan Levy and Bob Charish. Tomorrow We Televise was brought today by Audible.com, an Amazon company and proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival coming here to Big Apple this July. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook and 1 month trial, just go to audibletrial.com/televise. But Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful weekend ahead. Make it a great and safe one. We will be back for the first of three programs next week, Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.